fellow citizens, welcome to Beer Me a Movie. I'm Dave Michaels. Starting that shit already with this. Welcome to Beer Me a Movie. Happy birthday to me. The show where we throw movies back and forth to each other and then arbitrarily score them and then we drink if they line up with other things. Happy birthday to me again.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to moi.
You've got a lot of those locked and loaded, don't you?
I got kids, man. I got kids. This is what you do to entertain yourself. You start having like the dolls and stuff and you make them talk and you're like, I could do better than this. Like if I have to do this with the kids, I could do better. It's a weird thing to have. Sometimes you just try more voices and they don't work and you're like, fuck it. You're six. I don't give a shit. You know who Robin Williams is?
That is a hard impression to do. You really have to
commit. No, it's not. No, it's not. Look at my arm hair.
All right. You showed me.
He wasn't here. That was me. See?
That's, yeah. I thought Patch Adams was in the room, because that's the one everyone goes with. That's the one he went
with. Again, happy birthday to me. The movie that I wanted to beer everyone this year for my birthday pick had to be a musical. Got to still follow the rules. We live in a society.
Right. It's a society.
It is The Muppet Movie from 1979, directed by James fucking Frowley.
Absolutely James fucking Frowley.
Not Jim Henson.
No. Not Jim Henson. It should be noted, not Jim Henson.
Brian, have you ever seen this thing before and how many times?
I'm going to say, I think I've seen it before.
Oh, so you had some surprises while you're watching this thing.
I had several.
Yeah, there's just cameos out the ass.
Yeah, there's a whole slew of cameo-i. Is that the plural of cameo?
For this movie, it should be. We'll get there.
But yeah, I think I've seen this. It all kind of came back to me in pieces, but at the same time, I was like, hey, this is like a whole brand new thing. And I loved every second of it.
Of course you love it. You have to love it. If you don't love it, you're like one of the red hat wearers, because these puppets clearly don't have any genitalia, so they have to identify themselves as something, and that might not be what God intended.
Yeah, with the whole lot of blank spaces down in between the legs of these felt characters.
Not true, because we go full body in this thing, baby.
We sure do.
We'll get there.
We will.
I've seen this thing a billion times, 2 billion times. I don't know how many stars are in the fucking sky. That's how many times I've seen this thing now.
Conservatively.
Rainbow Connection? First dance at my wedding.
Amazing.
Animal? A big stuffed one? Was our cake topper.
Love it.
So this thing's kind of ingrained in me. I love the Muppets, man.
Yeah, this is an important one for you. I understand why it's your birthday pick.
And also because the movie just fucks.
It's delightful. I'm hesitant to say that it fucks because I want to respect it. This movie makes love.
Is that what Kermit and Miss Piggy were doing at the fair when they made eye contact? They're being respectful of each other?
Yeah, totally respectfully ogling each other. Respectful ogling. It's a thing. Look it up.
If puppets could eye fuck.
At the very least, Miss Piggy was eye making love to Kermit.
At the very least. And you know that someone in the Jim Henson Creature Workshop got the call that day from Jim Henson. Hey, I got the Miss Piggy here. The eyes are not nearly saying, I want to fuck that frog. I'm going to need you to paint, I want to fuck that frog eyes on this piggy. Yeah, I know it's a kid's movie, but that's why it's just, it's in the eyes. It's fine.
Bring this pig back to the creature shop and give her fuck me eyes.
Brian, want to kick this thing off? Get started, yeah. Dive into this thing, score this bad boy?
Let's do it. Let's dive right into the casting.
I don't know where to start with the casting because they're puppets and there's puppeteers. And a lot of these puppeteers are doing multiple characters.
Yeah, there's a lot of Jim Henson on the call sheet. There's a lot of Frank Oz on the call sheet.
There's a lot of cameos on that call sheet.
There are so many cameos in this movie.
Just assume there's a fucking in between all these names. Dom DeLuise, James Coburn, Madeline Kahn, Telly Savalas, Carol Kane, Paul Williams, Milton Berle, Elliot Gould, Edgar Bergen, Bob Hope, Richard Pryor, Steve Martin, Mel Brooks, Cloris Leachman, Orson Welles.
Words cannot express the surprise with each cameo that came up being bigger than the one before it.
It's a 10. It has to be a 10.
It's absolutely a 10. And that's not even mentioning Charles fucking Durning as the antagonist in this movie, Doc Hopper.
I left him out. He's a great human, and he is the antagonist, and we'll get there. But he's like main cast. He's pretty much human Muppet.
Yeah.
Jason Segel.
Who, even before he was in the 2011 Muppets, was already a human Muppet.
You can't call yourself Judge Fudge and expect to not be called a human Muppet at some point in your life. That's a human Muppet joke. You know, I think most of the jokes on How I Met Your Mother are human Muppet jokes.
Technically, that show is a Muppet show.
Explains why I like it. Even the ending.
Oh.
I'll defend that ending all day.
All right.
I'm older now. I'm wiser.
I know how the world works for real. Obviously, a 10 for casting. Let's talk about the story motivation.
This is so exciting. I love this movie so much, man. You get to fight a fanboy. Deal with it.
I don't know how much we're going to fight.
I think I'm calling Hondo. I think that's what it's going to be right off the bat.
Babe Ruth in this?
I'm pointing on this one.
Okay, he's pointing at 100. The film starts out, the Muppets gather in a private screening room to watch a movie about how they all met.
Do you know what I like to think about now whenever I watch this scene in the private screening room?
What?
Well, puppeteer's hiding. I think about that often in this movie when I watch it now after having seen it so many times.
I think I need to watch it a few more times before I get to that. Obviously, this whole thing is constructed and there's giant gaps behind every row of seats, right?
Could be underneath it, because every single set that they did is like 40 inches off the ground to make sure the puppets could be in there.
Well, I love that.
There has to be a human man in there, not a human Muppet.
Not a whole lot of reusing these sets, I guess, because they're all built for puppets instead of humans.
What are you talking about? It's all reusing these sets. Sesame Street's been on for like 50 years.
Everything in this movie got reused on Sesame Street.
Well, we can't say that, can we? Because then El Slezo becomes like part of Big Bird's nest. I don't really know how that works out.
Maybe all of it's just part of the labyrinth? I don't know.
Eventually, we'll get there. But yeah, they gotta have like people underneath these seats or whatever, putting their arms up. And how are they laying? Are they laying on each other? I know you have to get close to the puppeteer when you're doing work with someone else, but is this where you go ass to mouth? I don't know. There has to be a place in this movie where you go.
Some of these puppets require multiple people to operate them, so I imagine there's some ass to mouth happening.
Has to be. Kevin Smith, Clerks 2, you blew it again.
The film within a film begins, and we see Kermit the Frog living a simple life in a Florida swamp, singing Rainbow Connection and minding his own business.
The dream.
Just propped on a log with your banjo?
With a Jim Henson up your ass? Because he's doing a hell of a job being Kermit the Frog, but also he's in a watertight compartment in that log?
That's crazy. A lost Hollywood agent named Bernie discovers Kermit and suggests he pursue a career in show business. Inspired by the idea of making millions of people happy, Kermit sets off on his bicycle on a cross-country trip to Hollywood to become a star.
I love Dom DeLuise in this scene, and I love that we get a really good taste of what Jim Henson's humor is here with this newspaper gag. How Dom DeLuise like snaps into director mode and he's like putting his hands up framing Kermit. And he goes, you know, I know where I've seen you. And there happens to be a casting call for frogs in this newspaper.
Love it. Absolutely love it.
This movie's meta.
Oh, big time.
It knows exactly what it is. It knows exactly who it's doing. It's talking directly to us, the audience.
It's meta to a point where it's almost too much, but it's not because it's fucking excellent.
It'll never be too much. This thing, just right. Perfect hundo. Wait for it.
Doc Hopper, owner of a chain of fast food frog leg restaurants, pursues Kermit, wanting to make him his spokesperson.
Real popular frog for a bit. Or the whole movie, but briefly here.
This guy just emerges from the swamp and everyone's like, I need that frog.
I have a question about being a frog leg spokesperson as a frog.
Yeah, okay.
Would this be like if Elmer wasn't a cow, but was instead a horse?
It would be exactly like Elmer being a horse.
Hold on. I have an add-on to my question. If you are progressive, would you eat Flo in this situation? Or is Flo safe?
I think it depends on which definition of progressive you're asking about. How fucked up is Mayor McCheese then?
That's who you're worried about? Not Ronald himself?
Well, Ronald's a clown. Wait, what are their burgers made of?
Maybe that's why they disappeared from the streets all those years ago. They just went away.
Yeah.
They took over the world briefly and then they're gone. Makes no sense.
Grimace made a comeback, and so did the Hamburglar recently.
Yeah, they're trying hard. I know.
Kermit refuses Hopper's offer, and is in turn chased down by Hopper and his henchman Max.
This movie's a chase movie.
Absolutely.
You got the bad guys chasing the Kermit, and the Kermit chasing his dreams. Kind of like Burt Reynolds in Smokin' the Bandit.
And every other movie that Burt Reynolds drives a car in.
Hi-ho, truck driver! Give me your fucking cores! I know Burt Reynolds doesn't say fuck, all right? It's a frog voice. Chill out.
Kermit meets Fozzie Bear, a struggling comedian, at a comedy club and invites him to join the journey to Hollywood.
And this is, I think, the first real time we get to see Muppets full bodies. I know you see Kermit on the bicycle, but that's a remote control puppet.
It's crane driven. still a huge feat.
Ah!
Waka waka!
But this is the first time you get to see these Muppets actually dancing full body.
Yes.
And my biggest question that I have is, how does this, the first time they've ever tried to pull this off, look decades better than the same trick that's used in Labyrinth? How does it look that much better? Because one Labyrinth, awful in 1986.
I don't know. They forgot how to do it? I don't know. That's the only thing I can think of.
Jim Henson started phoning it in. He's like, I'm 4 years away from death, right? That's enough time to call it.
I've got a tickle in my throat. It's going to take 4 years to kill me, but...
It kind of did, because he would not go to see a doctor, and that's why he's a dedicant now.
I mean, time probably would have got him, too.
He'd be like in his 70s now.
Okay, yeah, that's not bad.
Or 80s. I don't know. Frank Oz, that's what I'm comparing him to, because same time period, and obviously partners. And Frank Oz looked like a human Yoda since 1977, so I don't know.
Kermit and Fozzie road trip in Fozzie's Studebaker.
A bear's natural habitat.
Marked by the song Moving Right Along. This song I learned in elementary school.
Really?
Had no idea had any connection to this movie, but I still have it completely memorized.
You didn't question a song that you heard in elementary school. You learned in elementary school.
Yeah.
When it talked about forks in the road and then had a joke about a fork being in an actual road.
And winding up in Saskatchewan on your way from the East Coast to California. Yeah, no. Had no questions about it because I was a child. And I was like, this is a fun song that I'm going to use for the rest of my life to remember that the sun comes up in the east.
That's the one that does it for you?
Oh, yeah. Every single time I'm like, "What? Where the sun comes up in the... Hey, I've never seen the sun come up in the west. The east. Got it.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is like a 10 on your impact of life, and you didn't even know.
Huge. And I had no idea.
Fascinating.
The duo meet Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem, a rock band that helps them disguise their car with a psychedelic paint job.
In college, for intramural soccer, we named our team Electric Mayhem 1 year, and they made a typo, and I still think it's one of the coolest typos that's ever been made in the history of typos. They called it Electric Magnum.
That's incredible.
So much better!
That's such a good name.
Doesn't mean anything, but it means everything at the same time.
There's nothing you could actually glean from that about anything, but it sounds metal.
It's like the opening chord of a movie that we're not talking about this week, A Hard Day's Night. George Harrison hits the Hard Day's Night chord at the beginning. It's not major, and it's not minor. That's what Electric Magnum is.
It's not major, it's not minor, it exists. Or maybe it doesn't.
I can't do this joke anymore. I just got a dad laugh out of Brian. That was, this is a sad day.
Yeah. why am I trying to build on that bit? That's done. You nailed it. I can't. I was going to say something about Schrodinger's Magnum, and it doesn't work as well. You nailed it.
Well, you can only yes and, yes and, yes and until someone says, I can't. Double down.
It worked twice.
Dad laughed twice. It's stupid.
This is a recurring bit now?
I'm doing it for the kids.
So Kermit and Fozzie encounter and pick up other Muppets, including the great Gonzo and his girlfriend Camilla the Chicken and Root.
It's an easy formula. You have a buddy comedy and you just get more buddies.
Exactly. Pile on the buddies, get a new car. Pile on some more buddies, get a new car. It's a great formula.
Run into some stars on the way.
Miss Piggy is introduced as a beauty pageant winner in a county fair where she instantly falls for Kermit and joins the group.
You keep saying that she instantly falls. Like, that's where you're coming in with this. And I think that's just fundamentally wrong.
How so?
You see the way that she looks at Kermit. Kermit's just sitting there with his little weird head going like this. I'm doing a motion on my hands to Brian that it's not opening like up or out, but it's doing both at the same time somehow.
He's just kind of like moving his mouth and his head without opening anything. Just imagine Kermit going, and that's the face he's making.
But he doesn't move. Miss Piggy at least does a head tilt. That's how you know her mind has wandered. It's gone to the gutter.
Yeah, well, we are definitely slow zooming in on her eyes, her fuck me eyes.
They are fuck me eyes. They absolutely are. And the thing about that is that when they do the reverse shot to Kermit, if he tilted his head, man, that's not a PG movie anymore. You have to go to the next level. You have to.
You have to escalate it.
I don't even say like a sexy, I'm just saying a lot of heavy neck.
Just a lot of pig on frog action.
But how much could you actually show of that in this type of movie and get away with it? Because again, it's not like a Team America where you can lean into the puppets a little bit.
Right.
It has to be like tasteful. Like I'll show you what I mean.
Okay, yeah,
yeah. Let's just say you have Kermit and you have Miss Piggy.
You have visual aids.
Well, yeah, I have kids.
Oh my God.
This is for you. This is my gift to you. I get to act out a Muppet sex scene in front of you.
Yeah.
While you narrate it.
So Kermit is slowly leaning in, tilting the head. Oh, Piggy's reciprocating the head tilting in the opposite direction. Like they're turning back the other way. And oh, Kermit's going downtown. He seems unenthused. He seems like he's like, I don't know if I really want to get into the pork rinds there. And oh, Miss Piggy has gone down. And Jesus Christ. Right back up to the kiss. I love that. This is the dirtiest thing I've ever seen somebody do with two children's toys.
They're my kids' toys, man. I'm going to have to look at these things.
Yeah, you should feel dirtier than I do right now.
Just know I edited out a bunch. It was mostly for Brian's benefit.
Yeah, there was a lot happening there that I might have to go into Muppet therapy for.
Sometimes you got to go ass to mouth. This movie proved it twice.
You got to go frog legs in the air, pork butt to mouth.
Just know it was for Brian's benefit. That he's a very happy boy.
Scarred for life. I'm just glad Gonzo didn't show up and do anything with the nose.
You'd like that, wouldn't you?
I was just testing you to make sure you didn't have a part two planned.
Why would I have a Gonzo? It's Gonzo.
Well, I did have that Muppet, but it's Gonzo.
That's how you restrain a dad laugh, what I just did there. You didn't earn it.
I had to bring it back to PG with a really bad joke.
Oh, fair enough. Fair enough.
Kermit and Miss Piggy develop a romantic relationship, which is highlighted by a romantic dinner and the song Never Before, Never Again.
And Steve Martin.
And Steve Martin, just Steve Martining all over the screen.
He's just so smarmy. Like, the word smarmy didn't exist in the format that it does after Steve Martin was smarmy.
It's because, like, if you abbreviate his name, it's like S-Martin.
You can get there.
It's smart. You're basically there.
You can get there. It's like a Sudoku. I don't know how those work either.
Yeah.
You know what's more fun than a words crossword? A numbers crossword. And no, it's fucking not.
No, it absolutely is not. Hey, I know you're enjoying that crossword puzzle. Do you want to do math instead? No. Absolutely not. It's very difficult for me to focus knowing you still have those puppets close by.
Oh, they're within arm's reach if I need them.
Miss Piggy is kidnapped by the evil Professor Max Crassman, who is working for Doc Hopper. He threatens to scramble Kermit's brains so he'll do Hopper's bidding. But Miss Piggy beats everyone up.
It's Mel Brooks.
It's Mel fucking Brooks.
If you think Mel Brooks ate scenery in his own movies, just think about it when he doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, he has no financial anything resting on this movie, so he just, excuse the pun, hams it up.
All right. That one did it.
Whoo!
Mel Brooks, fantastic.
Counting it. Miss Piggy briefly leaves the group for a modeling job, but is eventually reunited with them.
She did the head tilt. Of course, she's coming back.
You can't do the head tilt and stay away. Chekhov's head tilt.
Speaking of head.
You feeling confident?
Hundo.
When the group's car breaks down, Kermit has a poignant moment in the desert, questioning his dream and the impact on his friends, but is encouraged to continue by a vision of himself.
If you're a frog and you start talking to yourself as a frog in the desert, that's not a PG vision, that's peyote.
Isn't there a thing where you lick frogs and get high?
Are you suggesting that he didn't have Piggy around, so he went for it himself, Marilyn Manson style? It totally didn't happen?
I'm just saying, like, maybe we should count how many ribs Kermit has.
See?
See? Do you feel like you've proven a point?
It's either that, but I can't tell my kids that when every time we watch this movie and they ask, why is Kermit talking to another frog that looks like Kermit? It's confusing. Or my kids grew up under power lines that I didn't know about.
It's the ones underground you have to worry about.
That's right. That's where the 5G is.
The Electric Mayhem come to the rescue, having read ahead in the script. And they offer to drive the group to Hollywood in their tour bus.
It's a wonderful bit. And how Electric Mayhem did this at the beginning of the movie, too. And Kermit and Fozzie didn't want to catch him up, so they just gave him the script.
We can't tell you everything that's already happened. People at home won't want to watch that. It's boring. Let them read it.
It's funny how 8 years later, Mel Brooks has a similar joke in Spaceballs.
Yeah, isn't that interesting how that works?
I'm not saying anything. I love Mel Brooks. I wish he were my grandpa. Because A, he'd be alive. And B, it's Mel fucking Brooks.
It's a twofer.
That's what you can get me for my birthday. That's what you can get me.
Mel Brooks is your grandfather?
If you can't do it, show's over.
Okay. So I have 1 year to have Mel Brooks adopt your parent, one of your parents.
Oh, God. Yeah. It'd have to be one of my parents, I guess. it'd probably be my dad. Let's face it.
Makes sense.
Because my mom's a whole lot more Blazing Saddles and my dad's a whole lot more Young Frankenstein, if you know what I mean. I can't say that. I can't.
No.
Mommy, you're not a racist, Mommy. You're not a racist. I love you. I love you so much, Mommy.
There's so many other things you could have got. Well, actually, most of them are racist, huh?
They're questionable at best, yeah.
Max turns on Hopper and warns the Muppets that Doc Hopper has hired an assassin. Kermit decides he needs to face Hopper. The Muppets journey to a ghost town of the Old West, where they meet Dr. Bunsen Honeydew and his assistant Beaker, who have developed an enlargement pill. They probably emailed you about it.
Yeah, that's a weird way to age something. Like, it's still the same, but
yeah,
there's you moving right along.
Right as Kermit says his piece to Hopper and Hopper decides to kill him anyway, Animal grows to an enormous size and scares Hopper and his crew off.
If nothing else, this entire solution just shows what the Muppets is about.
Yeah, peaceful resolution and pig fucking.
Yeah, I told you, this movie's almost entirely about it.
It's weird hearing Kermit say the words hog tie.
It is, but here I am thinking that it's weirder when he went to Piggy with the fuck me eyes and he said frog pie. Frog pie? Next time you can see a frog pie is in Beer Fest.
I'd sure like to pull that pork.
That wasn't even Kermit, man. I went Marvin. Straight up Martian. Do you want movies where you can watch someone jerk off a frog?
The Muppets finally reach Hollywood and meet studio executive Lou Lord, who offers them the standard Rich and Famous contract.
How the fuck did they get Orson Welles?
I just about shat my pants. It's been so long since I've seen this movie. I was like, that's Orson Welles. After they nearly kill Cloris Leachman, that is.
Yeah, his assistant. And speaking of Beer Fest.
Yeah.
She says that she's allergic to animal hair, so naturally I'll stand in front of a fan and blow their animal hair at her until she unlocks the door. And it's not like that animal hair is just going to go away. She's surrounded by her nightmare.
Like I said, peaceful resolution and pig fucking.
Exactly. Orson Welles did not have a dressing room. He had a mobile office on set, which they had to move within 40 feet of the stage door for him to come out.
Wow.
That's the diva side of Orson Welles. The good side about it is how Brian Henson, Jim Henson's kid who took over really the Henson industry after Jim passed, he was younger on this. He said this was his first time really in Hollywood since they did the whole Muppet Show in England. So this was his real first time in Hollywood. So he said, yeah, I'm going autograph hunting. He had the balls to go talk to Orson Welles at his office, knocked on the door and said, excuse me, Mr. Welles. And Orson Welles said, ah, young Mr. Henson, come on in. And then Orson Welles sat and talked to him like he was a normal person. Because amazing. Not all celebrity stories are about weird people who hide under tables like Marlon Brando or Orson Welles.
I feel like the Hensons have a pretty storied history of hiding under tables.
Famously, actually. That's what they do best.
The Muppets begin to film their story, but a mishap on set leads to a literal break-a-leg moment. Yet they triumphantly sing The Magic Store, celebrating their dreams coming true.
How beautiful is that ending?
Amazing.
It works. You get to see all these friends and family come together and make the thing that they want to make. And yeah, it's already the thing that we love, but they do it in such a way that it just looks like an actual theater stage.
Yeah.
With just layer after layer after layer after layer of what we've seen in this movie at this point. And when it all comes down, Kermit, the ever frog as he is, as Paul Williams wrote the songs about him with that in mind, like this frog has to be the ever frog. He says, life's like a movie, write your own ending, keep believing, keep pretending. How amazing beautiful. Is that? As an adult, it hits you. I just got goosebumps. As a kid, it inspires you.
Yeah.
How could you not love the Muppets?
How could you not? This movie's fantastic. Get that last shot of 250 puppets just singing along. Oh, it's so good.
It is so good. They said there's probably around 130 puppeteers in that hole where the puppets are. And one of them is Tim Burton.
Sure is. There were 150 puppeteers in a 6-foot-deep, 17-foot-wide pit. They were recruited through the Los Angeles Guild of Puppeteers of America, and almost every puppeteer west of the Rockies reported for pit duty.
Puppeteers are a tight-knit group. You had Edgar Bergen in this movie with his puppet, Charlie McCarthy.
Yeah.
Edgar Bergen died right after shooting this. they had to actually shut down the set for a full day so the puppeteers can go to his funeral because it's that much of a brotherhood.
Yeah, that's crazy. I love that.
And for any Hollywood production to shut down for a day is madness because it's super expensive to do that. And this movie already did not cost much because no one thought that they could pull this off.
But they did.
10, story motivation.
Story motivation is a 10. Protagonist.
Kermit the Frog.
Kermit the Frog.
Probably as identifiable in the world that we live in as Santa Claus.
Holy shit, yeah. I can't debate that.
He doesn't so much get the band back together as he gets it together.
Yeah, this is like the initial band forming. The story of how it happened. The room where they all met, you know?
It was just a frog on a log, and then he got a dream because of a magic man in the forest. And then he went for that dream and licked himself at some point. And I met Orson Welles. It's a wild story, but it works. It all works. Airtight. Take it down Titanic 10.
It's like the Fellowship of the Rings, but with a point.
That's right. And less walking because it was really hard to do with puppets.
It's a lot of Studebakers instead of walking. 10. Antagonist. Go ahead. Go ahead. Tell me how this is going to get 100.
Doc Hopper just wants a mascot.
He wants a mascot for his frog leg restaurant. He thought, what better than a frog? I love Kermit's naivety where he's like, just imagine all the frogs with crutches.
Yeah, thinking that they're only going to take one leg. That's cute there, Kermit. That's cute. Like, that'd be the weirdest deal to cut. Can you imagine, like, the NFL Players Association? It's like, I mean, we've got to take one of his legs, but then we'll give him brain health for the rest of his life at the end of the thing.
All right, we'll only damage half of your brain. How about that?
Kermit, you're adorable.
Doc Hopper, you're shady.
He's very shady in the best way. Because he is still Charles fucking Durning.
Yes, and who goes to those lengths just to get a frog as a spokesperson? He had to invest so much money to just chasing this frog down instead of just finding a different spokesperson.
He had to. 7.
Okay, that's generous, but I know what you're going for here.
Look at my face. It says dirty 7.
Yeah, dirty 7.
Oh, you think I did the math in my head?
No, I don't. I don't.
Because I didn't. Because Sudoku is bullshit, as we've established. Numbers free zone. It's why Brian does this part.
Next category is director.
Not Jim Henson. James Frawley nailed it.
Absolutely nailed it. He doesn't have a whole lot of other credits. He did a lot of TV.
Yeah, but so did these Muppet guys.
Some Cagney and Lacey, which I never realized was a cop show. And those are the names of the daughters of Terry Crews' character in Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And it's brilliant.
Look at that. Your ignorance just gave you a little surprise. You're
exactly.
Welcome.
Yeah, he did a bunch of TV, but that's what the Muppets are. TV characters come to the big screen.
And that was the worry with the studios, because they didn't think that they could get the Muppets out of an actual theater-like studio because it didn't work with puppeteering. And if you get a chance, there's a great, great, great biography on Jim Henson from Brian J. Jones. It's so damn good. Brian J. Jones also wrote a biography on George Lucas, which is amazing. And then my favorite one was his Dr. Seuss one.
It's a man of many biographies.
That's only a few. I don't know when you cross into many.
More than one biography, you're starting to get into many.
But if you read that book or learn about Jim Henson, he was a ridiculously easy guy to work with because he just hired people that he trusted. And then, weirdly enough, trusted them.
Isn't that crazy?
Paul Williams did the music on this movie. Told Jim Henson, hey, this is kind of a big deal of a movie. Let me at least let you listen to some of the things I've been working on.
Yeah.
To which Jim Henson said, no, you don't have to. I'll hear it in the studio and we film it. Like, I'm sure it's going to be great.
Yeah, I hired you because I know, like, what you've done. And I'm sure I'll trust the final product.
But I feel like that shows just the mindset that happened with this generation that Jim Henson lived in versus where we kind of are now. Because if you do that now, it's just kind of like flexing on someone.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost a veiled threat. Whereas Jim Henson, you're like, man, I've watched you eye fuck a pig with your hand up a sock. You're a genuine person.
It's crazy. He's over here trusting professionals to do their job.
Strange concept. We could all learn a thing or two from Jim Henson. Go to the doctor, though.
That's one thing you should.
If I could say anything, that's the one thing that you should learn.
But yeah, the studios were worried that Kermit the Frog couldn't make the leap to the big screen.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah, but
we went this far without it, and you had to do it.
James Frawley made that happen.
And Jim Henson trusted him because he had such a good sense of humor, and he knew what he was doing because this wasn't a studio television show. He's made feature films. He got it. He understood the longer format. James Frawley, 7.
I think that's very conservative of you, and I appreciate your honesty in that pick.
It has to be honest. Comes from the gut, man. What do I know? I famously have shit guts.
Style and tone.
11. Technically, this film is so difficult to pull off.
Oh, absolutely.
Just the amount of logistical planning you have to do for each shot. It's not as simple as you show up on a location and then you have lights that come down and frame it really nicely for the actors to come on set at a proper human height to talk at.
Right.
Everything here had to be raised. The actors had to have their arms up in the air pulling off all this. The camera has to be at certain angles in order to make it look like they're lowered to the ground to make it all like it.
Yeah.
Is mind-boggling how they did this.
Cinematographer Isidore Menofsky said he enjoyed working on this movie because no one complained about the light in his eyes or how long he had to stand in.
Totally get it.
Just stuck him on a pole.
Maybe that's why Muppet Treasure Island isn't as good, because the crew's just phoning it at that point. I got issues with Muppet Treasure Island. We don't need to get into that.
Another thing for style and tone, I think an 11 is exactly where it needs to be because it is perfect, but then you have an actual gigantic animal because Jim Henson refused to use a normal puppet in a miniature set. So they made a giant animal head that was 60 feet wide, tall, huge.
I want that. That's what you can get me for my birthday instead of the Mel Brooks. Okay. This one actually seems weirdly more attainable, but at the same time, much less attainable.
Barely more attainable, but yeah. I feel like the animal head could be recreated, whereas Mel Brooks, not so much.
I know, because people have been trying to do it for decades, and they're never going to get close. Man's a legend.
That is an 11 for style and tone. Screenplay.
Written by Muppets writers Jerry Jewell and Jack Burns, with a lot of the Jim Henson sensibilities built into there.
Oh, absolutely.
This movie is almost perfectly crafted.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just so well done. And the screenplay is a character in itself, almost.
I just love how you have the humor for the kids, you have the humor for the adults. This thing Pixar's before Pixar even was a dream.
Oh, absolutely. And then lines like, draw up the standard rich and famous contract. Come on.
If you're only going to get Orson Welles to say one line, you better make it good. And
it's
boy, did
it. So good.
Script, 10.
10. That brings us to music.
So it's definitely an 11 because it affected you. This is an impact on a Brian musically.
That's true. It's true. I still use the song to remember that the sun comes up in the east.
And you travel a lot, so this has been incredibly helpful to you.
Oh, yeah, because I always use the sun to figure out my heading.
And it has a lot of sentimental value to me because, again, Rainbow Connection was my first dance at my wedding.
Yeah.
Therefore, I can't see a movie scoring below an 11.
I can't either. This is an 11. The music in this is fantastic. And the trust that Jim Henson put into Paul Williams paid off.
Also, Paul fucking Williams.
11 for music. Next up is box office. I don't have the numbers for its opening weekend, so we're just going to go with the estimated budget, which was $8 million. This thing worldwide grossed $65.8 million. That's like an 822% return.
Yeah, that's a big boy number right there.
That's huge.
That's why we still talk about the Muppets today, and new things about the Muppets still come out is because of that.
So normally that would be a 10 on our scale because it is over 500, but it's 800. Kind of feels like 11 territory.
Yeah, but it's not. We've said in the past it has to be 1,000 plus to get the 11.
Yeah, all right. It's a 10.
Wait. I like this movie, damn it.
I like this movie, damn it.
Happy birthday to me.
And it's birthday. There it is. Use your birthday point. Just adding birthday points to the canon. remember that in September. Final category is impact on the industry. And goddamn it, it's huge.
It's enormous.
It's unreal how big. How many Muppet movies have there been now?
I think it's, at a certain point, you could say countless.
Yeah, countless sounds.
And it's
mostly
because I don't want to count because we established the Sudoku thing already.
Right. Right. Numbers are the enemy. This is huge. In 2009, the Library of Congress added it to the National Film Registry, which I think is far too late. I don't know why they were dragging their feet on this one.
Well, Obama's a pretty hip dude.
All right, that's fair.
You had a bunch of squares before that, and Obama's just like, you ever seen the Muppets? Fucks. impact in the industry, it's got to be an 11 for me.
It's an 11. I have bad news for you.
Yeah, I did a little math in my head, and my heart broke, and here we are.
Here we are.
Happy birthday.
Did not quite hit that shot you called. But the Muppet Movie did did score a total of 98. We came damn close.
And if we didn't fanboy over this, it could have gotten real interesting, but that was just never going to happen.
There was not a world in which, yeah.
On Rotten Tomatoes, this is one of those rare movies where the critical score and the audience score line up exactly.
Oh.
88%.
All right. I mean, we might have gone a little bit overboard.
And critically, I was actually really interested to see what Roger Ebert had to say about this thing.
Yeah, of course.
But Roger saw this thing in 1979, just a little bit after it came out, so it's a bit of a younger Roger.
Oh, nice.
He gave this thing a 3.5 out of 4 stars.
Nice.
Some of what he said is some of like the biggest comparisons I've ever seen him write.
Oh, okay.
Because he says, Jolson sang, Barrymore spoke, Garbo laughed, and now Kermit the Frog rides a bicycle.
Damn, that's big.
He goes on to say the Muppet movie not only stars the Muppets, but for the first time, shows us their feet. So Quentin Tarantino, there's his impact on the Quentin. And if you can figure out how they're able to show Kermit pedaling across the screen, then you are less a romantic than I am. I prefer to believe he did it himself.
Yeah.
But I say they got out of his little Roger brain and just accepted it for what it was, because in his review, he said that he stops thinking about how this stuff was pulled off. He said, this is magic after all. So who wants to know where Jim Henson is throughout all this? And now, on obviously 50 viewings later, like, yeah, I kind of want to know where he is.
Yeah, now I really want to know.
But if you can get Roger Ebert to even settle his brain down, because this is a guy who just constantly thinks while watching. He's a fascinating man.
Yeah.
You can get him to just accept it for magic on the screen and just enjoy it for what it is and be entertained, goddammit.
That's big.
That's special.
Yeah. It's a hell of a movie.
It is a hell of a movie. I knocked that out of the park. That's
you
my
did.
Babe Ruth
you
point.
Did.
I knocked that out of the park. I knew what I was doing the whole time. I didn't. I'm so sad I didn't get a hundo. Brian, next week.
Yeah.
It is your second pick of the All Musicals month. This has been a bit contentious between us.
It has.
Because throughout this month, we've been hiding our picks a whole lot more than we usually hide our picks from each other.
Yeah, we've almost been teasing each other with like, you're not going to guess what I'm doing.
That's kind of how I feel right now. I'm so curious. Brian, why don't you beer everybody the musical we're going to be talking about next week?
All right, I will do that. But I liked what you did last week when you told me some of the things that it could have been but wasn't. And I had a hell of a time narrowing down this pick because I had standard musicals like Grease and The Producers and The Phantom of the Opera picked out because I wanted to talk about Gerard Butler's side mouth for a while. And then I realized that this is going to be episode 69.
Nice.
Yeah, so I thought maybe I'll do something a little sexier. Maybe Cabaret, Chicago, Burlesque.
You're really like hurting me right now knowing that we're not talking about any of those movies?
I know. It hurts me too. Moulin Rouge, etc.
This is going to be the least sexy movie that's ever been created. I'm convinced of it now.
Well, no, it's still episode 69, so I wanted to have some sexy. But I also realized that this episode is going to come out on 4/22.
Is that close enough?
I think it's close enough.
Okay.
So now I want something a little trippy, a little sexy, but still a musical. Really working within the confines here that I've set up for myself. I was like, well, actually, The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas would be an excellent pick for that. But I don't want to rob one of our listeners from that pick, should that come up for Roger Ebert at the end of the month. And then I was thinking maybe a trauma pick, maybe like a Poultrygeist, Night of the Chicken Dead.
It's a very good pick. I've never seen it. Kind of curious.
And then I started thinking, well, maybe I'll play fast and loose with the rules. Maybe do a Saturday Night Fever. Maybe do a Pink Floyd The Wall.
You're just naming a lot of movies. That's
a lot of movies
doing now.
Yeah.
I'm not even tickled. I got half jump at a point. Full flass again.
I'm sorry. It came down to three. Three final picks for the episode 69, 4/20 musical.
Big responsibility.
Huge. It's not going to be Tommy. It was real close to being Tommy.
Oh,
it's not going to be Tommy.
That would have been so good.
I know.
It's such a weird movie. I love it. It's so weird. And Margaret rolls around, I think, like bubbles and chocolate syrup at a point. It's so weird. And Elton John's in it as the pinball wizard.
Yeah. It was super close to being that. It's also not going to be Reefer Madness, the movie musical.
That one I did not see coming.
Yeah, that was second pick. Next week, we are going to be talking about the 1989 movie starring Gina Davis, Jim Carrey, Damon Wayans, and Jeff Goldblum, Earth Girls Are Easy.
What a pick. I did not see that coming at all.
Yeah.
That is an incredibly exciting pick. Have you seen it?
I have not seen it. It kind of hit me left field because I did not know it was a musical until I started looking into some random previews I had seen on Peacock.
I didn't know it was a musical either. And it's kind of one of those movies. I was like, oh, Jim Carrey, this is going to be a great time. I'll watch it sometime. Funny exactly. Name. Great. Now it's musical. I'm going to watch it after we record.
I'm very excited for this one.
Next week, Earth Girls Are Easy.
Until then, thank you for listening. Be sure to rate, review, subscribe, and send us your movie suggestions for this month's listener pick. There's a lot of cats. A lot of cats happening on the list right now. If that's what you're into, add more cats. But there's also a bunch of other movies that are still on the list, like Bedknobs and Broomsticks and The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, Serrano Hairspray, Beauty and the Beast, Grease, The Lion King. There's a lot on there, but most of it's cats.
Most of it's cats. That's terrifying.
It's half cats right now. There's a 50% chance we're talking about cats the last week. Because a lot of those picks are from our patrons, and on Patreon, you get double the picks. You also get to listen to our exclusive bonus episodes. Like, I think we're doing Spice World?
Yeah, we're doing Spice World.
We're doing Spice World.
We said it with our mouths last week, and then people are just like, yeah, you gotta do Spice
World. It's like, you can't not do it now that you've said it.
Stupid. We put it out in the universe, and it got us.
I happily dropped that into the universe. You can email your picks, questions, and comments to beermeamoviepod@gmail.com or follow us on Facebook and Instagram @beermeamovie, especially Facebook, because we always put up a post on our recording day asking for your questions and comments.
Jeff Miners wrote in. He said, what is your favorite Muppet movie? He says, mine's The Great Muppet Caper. Two things. One, I picked the best Muppet movie. Two, glad you didn't say Muppet Treasure Island, or else this would be real weird right now.
That would be a pretty awkward moment. I really like the Muppet movie, but I really like the 2011 movie.
Which doesn't work without the Muppet movie. So
that's true. Yeah. You need the Muppet movie to have the Muppets. So I guess it's the Muppet movie.
Phil Hot Take Hawkins, he asks, who's your favorite Muppet? Mine's easy. It's Rolf, because he's chill as fuck.
I like Gonzo, no matter what you say about him.
Gonzo's a grinder. Just like Fozzie Bear. Doesn't have time to sit on a log or whatever. Like Kermit does, just happen to be famous.
Boom.
And the last question we have, Stephen Baker wants to know, if you could take a classic movie and replace all the stars except one with Muppets, what movie are you doing? Who would play that character? Who would you keep as the human? Phil Hot Take Hawkins commented that. He said, The Matrix, but Agent Smith is the only human.
Oh, I like that.
But he also said, that or Clue, with Tim Curry acting against just a cast of Muppets.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Damn it.
Phil gets it.
Yeah, obviously Tim Curry and the Muppets and Clue.
I'd probably go something like Schindler's List, but the only human's like the girl in the little red dress that's there, because you need the color. I just think it would lighten the mood up in that movie just a little bit, and it could use it. Great film, but oh man. It's too real. That's the problem.
John C. Reilly, Walk Hard, maybe?
I never thought I'd say this. Better movie. Brian, you got anything else?
That is it for me.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks for hanging out with us. You're all the absolute best, except for that one. And it might be Brian if he doesn't get Mel Brooks as my grandfather for my birthday.
I thought we'd move to the giant animal head.
Well, I want both now.
How about a giant Mel Brooks head?
There's such a thing as too much of a good thing. We'll see everybody next week. We talk Earth Girls Are Easy. We'll see you then.